Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani channel, welcome to another session of our silsila Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the life of the chosen one. In our last session, we covered the time our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent with his foster mother, the noble Halima Sa'diya radiyallahu ta'ala anha. We covered the event of Shaqq al-Sadr, when the angels were seen splitting the blessed chest of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and this caused concern for the Honorable Halima radiyallahu ta'ala and her husband, and she returned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam to his honorable mother Sayyida Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha in Makkatul Mukarrama. We came to the point where our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam accompanied his honorable mother Sayyida Amina to Madinatul Munawwara. Also in their company was the famous and devoted slave girl inherited by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Baraka, who was known as Ayman. We reached the stage where our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was due to return with his honorable mother and with Ayman from Madinatul Munawwara. What happened next? Before we continue from where we left off, I would like to share with you a blessing, a hadith which expresses the excellence of sending salawat, sending blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said, recite or send salawat upon me, blessings upon me, read Durood Sharif in a lot on Friday night and Friday. Now, Islamically, the night comes before the day. So the duration or the phase of time our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to is what we would probably understand to be Thursday night. But in fact, Islamically, it's Friday night. So from Friday night and the day of Friday until sunset, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to this particular period of time. He said, send a lot of salawat upon me during this phase of time. Whosoever does this, for him on the day of judgment, I will be an intercessor and witness. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani channel, on the day of judgment, people will be worried about whether they will go to heaven or hell. In this state of concern, they will turn to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, and from Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, they will go from prophet to prophet, and the words izhabu ila ghayri will echo, meaning go to another, until they reach Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, who will finally direct them towards our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And when the people will finally arrive in the presence of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will embrace them and accept them with the words ana laha, according to Sahih Bukhari, that I am for this. And according to Imam Tabarani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say to them, "Ana sahibukum, I am the one you're looking for. I am the one you've been searching for." And then our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as documented by Sahih traditions, will perform sajda in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will be said to him, "Ya Muhammad, irfa ra'saka." O Muhammad, raise your head. وَقُلْ تُسْمَعْ. And say, you will be heard. وَسَلْ تُعْطَعْ. And ask, you will be given. وَشْفَعْ تُشَفَّعْ. Intercede, your intercession is accepted. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be given permission to intercede for the people from this moment on. How lucky and fortunate will be the people who will be blessed with the intercession of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And simply one of the ways of attaining this intercession is by expressing love for him through sending salawat, blessings upon him, reading Durood Sharif. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to do so as part of our daily routines, and especially on Friday night and a Friday as instructed by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Continuing from where we left off in our silsila, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled to Madinatul Munawwara with his honorable mother and with Ayman. On his return, on their return from this journey, the honorable mother of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyida Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha, became very ill. And in fact, this illness, it led to her death. She died at a place called Abwa. Now, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 6 years old, according to many traditions, at the time he lost his honorable mother. So he became doubly an orphan. He was born without seeing his father, who died while he was in his mother's womb. And now, at the age of six, he loses his honorable mother. And any father, just a thinking point for everyone, most fathers would understand and agree with this point, that the care and attention and affection that is expressed by a mother, it cannot be matched by the father. So to lose the very caring figure in the form of Sayyida Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha, how it would have affected the heart of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, we can simply talk about it. Many of us would not be able to understand the true emotions. And this also was a moment for Ayman to show her affection towards our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so she did. She tried to console him and she supported him and accompanied him and handed him over to his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. And indeed, Abdul Muttalib, in his grandson, his doubly orphan grandson, he saw, and no doubt he was reminded of his very own son, the Honorable Abdullah, who had passed away at such a young age. And immediately he developed a closeness with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And the seerah sources, it's written within them how he would keep, Abdul Muttalib would keep our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him. But this relationship and this bond with his grandfather was not due to last very long as well. At the age of eight, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his grandfather too. And now he was entrusted, he was put into the care of his uncle Abu Talib, who was the full brother of Abdullah, the later Abdullah. Abu Talib had witnessed the love his father Abdul Muttalib had shown towards his grandson, meaning our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Abu Talib did not find it hard to develop a bond of love and affection for his nephew, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He would keep the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stay in his company. In fact, if he would go to meetings with the other chiefs of other tribes, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a young boy, would accompany his uncle Abu Talib. Abu Talib described the childhood of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he mentioned that he did not have any habits of immorality. That our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in his childhood, never spoke a lie, never spoke in an indecent way. In fact, he would not associate with, and he would not be he would not be seen in the company of any indecent people, or even children who performed any acts of immorality. Sometimes children being children, can be mischievous, but our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refrained from such company of children. And he recognized this as a trait in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from childhood. And this is just a reminder. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being an example for us, an example to be followed. And let us just reflect on the state of our children today. I would just like to give one example which I think everyone, many people can relate to. And we are talking about how, without comparison, because we cannot really compare, but our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us through his character how even as children, our children should behave. They tell the truth, they do not speak in an indecent way, they are not in the company of indecent people. And now let us reflect upon the state of affairs today. There is a knock on the door, and a child opens the door. The one who knocked on the door asks, is your dad in? The child half closes the door, not fully. Being a child, he walks a few steps towards the living room maybe, and yells and shouts out to his dad, "Dad, there's someone at the door for you." And the dad is reclining on his couch, almost hypnotized by something he's watching on television, which has nothing to do with Islam most likely. And in this state of complete carelessness and ignorance, he answers his son and says, "Go tell him, or go and say that my dad isn't at home." Little does he realize that what he said was said so loudly that the person outside actually heard what the father had to say. And then just to top that up, when the child comes back out again, the child, being a child, says to the would-be guest, "My dad told me to tell you that he is not at home." And then the would-be guest grins sarcastically and walks away. This is a typical example of the state of affairs that we are seeing, witnessing, hearing about today. Through behavior, fathers, parents are teaching their children to lie and are not thinking anything of it. They think it's a completely normal thing to do. So we must understand and remind ourselves that if we want our children to become honest people, grow up to become honest people, we have to develop these traits from a very young age and not be careless with our behavior and our conduct, affecting them and affecting their development and affecting their judgment. Coming back to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his closeness with his uncle Abu Talib. Once the region of Arabia, especially Makkah al-Mukarramah, was facing a drought. People were starving, there was hunger, animals were affected. An elderly man advised the people, "Go to Abu Talib, for he is the caretaker or the carer of the sacred house, the Kaaba Sharif, and ask him to supplicate and make dua for rain, for he is an honorable man." The chiefs and the people, they agreed and they decided to approach Abu Talib, and they asked Abu Talib to make dua for rain, as the little that they had, it's almost gone. Animals are suffering, people are dying, and we're in dire need of rain. Abu Talib was accompanied by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and he raised his hands in supplication. Moments later, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his blessed finger towards the heavens, and as he did this, out of nowhere clouds appeared and it rained heavily. It rained and rained and rained. The rain itself was seen gathering in around the region in within the hills. This was due to the gesture of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and this account is an example of irhas, a miraculous action which he was responsible for sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam before he proclaimed his prophethood. Abu Talib described some qualities of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a qasida that he wrote about him, because Abu Talib was a very gifted poet, and in one such couplet he says, he talks about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, describing him as abyadu yustasqa al-ghamamu biwajhihi, that he's the one who is fair in complexion. Rain is sought from a cloud by means of his face. ثِمَالُ الْيَتَامَ عِثْمَةٌ لِلْأَرَامِلِ. He is the abode of orphans and the carer for widows. Describing the traits of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani Channel, one of the titles of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is Ummi, and reasons are given for this title of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. One reason being that, as is the case for the words Makki al-Madani, it expresses a link to the city of Makkatul Mukarrama, which also has a title of Ummul Qura. So from Ummul Qura, linked to Makkatul Mukarrama, and in that respect he is Ummi. But the other, and possibly the more famous opinion regarding this word, is that the word Ummi refers to an individual who did not go through formal schooling or formal education. And this is a description given to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and he is described as an individual who did not go through formal schooling, did not receive education from a teacher the way people would normally do in schools and institutes or some kind of educational circle. And the ulama describe his ummi nature as actually being an example of one of his miracles. It was miraculous that he was ummi, but such an ummi who was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had given him the knowledge of the people, of the first and the last. In explaining the reasons for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being referred to as ummi, some reasons, the real reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but some reasons are given by the scholars of Islam. One reason that is given is that they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam to have a teacher within creation who could say, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, that the Prophet of Allah is my student. Another reason which is given is that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he had a teacher, as we understand in this world, a thought would come into the minds of the people that this person who is the teacher of the Prophet, so to speak, maybe he has more knowledge than the Prophet. Maybe being the teacher of the Prophet, his level of knowledge and level of understanding is more than the Prophet. Another reason given in explaining why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described as ummi is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he was an individual who had gone through formal education, one accusation which the people would have put forward against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been that due to the fact that he's able to write, he wrote the Quran himself and he made this book up himself, it was from him. So the fact that he did not go through formal education or education of this nature meant that people could not make this accusation against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Another reason given for him being ummi is that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam may have been this accusation may have been put forward against him that he was able to read, so he might have read the scriptures which were sent down before him, and by reading the various scriptures that were sent down before him, he was able to make a new book based on what he had read from the other scriptures. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not go through a formal education or did not have a teacher, so to speak, within creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, did not want anyone in creation to be a figure for whom our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam expresses an extreme level of humility, because I'd like you to think about the level of submissiveness and humility a student expresses towards a teacher. And one expression that is commonly used is how a student, he sits on his knees in respect of his teacher, and he is almost like a servant towards his teacher. His humility is such that he is waiting for instruction from his teacher and willing to serve him in every way. And the ulama say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want this to be the case for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, that he shows that kind of humility and submissiveness, because he is the greatest in character in creation. And if it came to showing submissiveness or humility, no one can match him in this. So our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did not want this to be the case, that He expresses such humility towards anyone else in creation. And this is some insight we have regarding the possibilities of, the possible reasons behind why our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ummi, meaning he did not receive a formal schooling or formal education, but he who was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no doubt that his knowledge and his wisdom was incomparable and cannot be matched by anyone in creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to remind each other of the wonderful qualities, the amazing qualities of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Coming back to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of the kind of timeline that we were following. A famous account which is mentioned about one of his famous journeys, his first journey to towards Syria as a 12-year-old, when he accompanied his uncle Abu Talib, and they reached Busra, and there was a monk, Christian monk by the name of Bahira, who would keep an eye on the caravans that came from Makkah al-Mukarramah, zadahullahu sharafan wa ta'zima. And this monk was amazed by this particular of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the one that came from Makkah. He was observing and he was watching from his quarters, from his cell, and he noticed something which struck him about the actual group that arrived. So he invited, according to the some of the seerah traditions, he invited the caravan that came from Makkah al-Mukarramah, and he specified and said that everyone is to come to my on my invitation, no one is to be left behind. It just happened to be the case that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being a 12-year-old, was left to look after the animals, just to keep an eye on the possessions of the luggage of the caravan. When Bahira, he saw the people of Mecca arriving after his invitation, he looked at each one of them, but he did not find what he was looking for in them. And then he asked, he said, has everyone attended my invitation? And after some asking and exchange of comments, it became clear that that not everyone had attended, for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was left behind. So Bahira made this point. He said that I did specify for everyone to be present. So some of the companions of that caravan, of that group, were felt a little embarrassed for leaving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam behind. They went and they brought him in. As he observed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and looked at him closely, and being a man of knowledge and a man who was well versed in the scriptures, he had in his possession many of the scriptures which he had inherited, possibly monk after monk, generation after generation, and he was waiting for the final prophet to arrive. So he observed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, looked at him very carefully, and then spoke to him and asked him some questions regarding his dreams, regarding his everyday activities. And then he was politely requested for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show him his back. And when he complied, he actually witnessed the seal of prophethood between his shoulder blades. He turned to Abu Talib and he said to Abu Talib, "What is your relationship with this boy?" And Abu Talib said, "He is my son." Bahira said, "This is not possible. It is not possible for this boy, for this boy's father to be alive." And then Abu Talib said, he's my nephew." And then Bahira, he revealed that he had witnessed how the trees and the rocks were almost bowing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how he was being given shade. A cloud was shading the caravan when it arrived, and he revealed to Abu Talib that this boy has a very bright future. Do not go further into Syria. For if the Jews recognize him, and if they come to know what I know, they will kill him. And we know this from previously when we discussed the life of the Honorable Abdullah, that how the Jews recognized him and they tried to kill him. They attacked him. Bahira's account was further evidence of how detailed the descriptions about the final prophet, the events leading up to the arrival of the final prophet, and some of the significant events during the time of the final prophet. All of these were many things that were well documented and actually mentioned in their scriptures. Following the advice of Bahira, Abu Talib and his companions decided to sell their stock and whatever they had without going any further into Syria, for the safety of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, since the warning of Bahira was very clear The noble Khadija was a wealthy widow of that region, well respected by the people of that time. And due to the fact that she was a widow, she was in need of a representative to take some items to be sold in Syria for buying and selling purposes in Syria. For this task, as mentioned, the Prophet was chosen, and she agreed to pay a double of what she would pay any other person, due to the fact that our beloved Prophet had a reputation of trust. On this journey, she made arrangements for our beloved Prophet to be accompanied by her trustworthy servant Maysara. This journey was or became the second journey of our beloved Prophet to Syria. And according to the sources of Sirah, he was near the age of 25 when he set off on this journey. What happened on this journey, this second journey to Syria? Did our beloved Prophet meet Bahira again? Did the Jews find out about our beloved Prophet ﷺ? Was he given safe return to Makkatul Mukarramah? Find out in our next episode of Siratul Mustafa ﷺ, the life of the chosen one. Allah karam aisa kare tujhpe jahan mein, ae daawat islami teri dhoom machi ho. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.